glories of the Sambal devotees. All glories of the Sambal devotees. All glories of the Sambal devotees. All glories of the divine Lord Sita, Sri, Sri, Guru and Gauranga. Krishna Svadamo, Pagate, Damaganadi, Bisaha, Kalandasa, the Shomesha, Paranoko, Nodita, Narayana Namaskritcha, Naram Chaivam, Narotama, Devim Sarasatim, Vyasam, Tato Jayam, Udirayat. The Bhagavatam is brained as the sun, is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost their vision through the dense darkness of the age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, we should first offer our respects to the personality of God in Narayan, the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, the author, Srila Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from 10th canto. Oh, let there be light. It's almost like the white light. Such is life in the material world. It's too dark, too bright, too hot, too cold, and yet I'm still trying to figure it out. If you just get the right angle. Anyway, so 10th canto, chapter 3, text 1 through 5, but we're just going to chant text 1. But we'll read the translations. Shri Sukhavacha Ata Sava Gunopeta Kala Parama Shobana Yahi Ivajana Janmarksham Shantarksha Graha Tadaham Shisuka Uvata Atasava Ganopeta Kala Paramashobanaha Yariva Jana Janmarksham Shantarksha Grahatarakam Shri Sukhavacha Atasavaganopeta Kala Paramashobana Yariva Janasyan Marksham Shantarksha Grahatarakam Shri Sukhavacha Atasavaganopeta Kala Paramashobanaha Yareva Jana Janmarksham Shantarksha Grahartarakam. Shri Sukhavacha Shisukavacha Yari Vajana Janmarksham Shisukavacha ladies. Kala Paramashovana Yari Vajana Janmarksham Shantarksha Vaishnavis Shisuko Vacha Ata Savakano Peta Kala Paramashovana Shantaksha Grahitarakam Shisuko Vacha Atasava Guno Peta Kala Paramashovanaha Yari Eva Ajanjanaksham Shantaraksha Shisuko Vacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Atha, on the occasion of the Lord's appearance, Sarva, all around, Guna Upeta, endowed with material attributes or facilities, Kala, a favorable time, Paramashobanaha, all auspicious and very favorable from all points of view. Yari, when? Eva, certainly. Ajana Janmagriksham, the constellation of stars known as Rohini. Shantariksha, none of the constellations were fierce. All of them were peaceful. Grahatarakam, and the planets and stars like Ashvini. So translation, and this is five verses. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashvini. The sun, the moon, the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and the green plants, full flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing to the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the brahmanas engage in the ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and the Brahmins, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary systems. What more can I say? Anyway, we'll read on. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of the ordinary man, who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became auspicious, very auspicious. The astrological influences of the constellation known as Rohini was also predominant because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu. And it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who is in fact birthless. According to the astrological calculation, conclusion, beside the proper situation of the stars, there were auspicious and inauspicious moments due to different situations of different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, and north, everywhere, there was the atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky, and the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, they were the signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full of beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmins, who were accustomed to offer sacrifice in fire, found their homes very pleasant for offering. Because of the disturbance created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the homes of the Brahmins. But now that they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully, being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmins were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One last paragraph. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just like they would in Sharat, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in bloom, and thus the wind blowing at the time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritual ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmins and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmins were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies without just undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees, and the Brahmins. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmins were undisturbed. Om Gana Tamarandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Jakshusha Militan Gana Tazare Shri Gurave Namaha. So I have a question. How long does class go to? And tell me the truth. Don't say, oh, Swamiji. Well, unless we can run time backwards. So what should... Well, that's that we end now. We'll just go. We'll go, but we won't go too long. We won't go too long. All right. Well, that's why I'm supposed to help you. Well, I was thinking when I've always, well, I'll just say this. Prabhupada was on a radio show, and the guy was quite antagonistic. And he was describing, he was trying to, the usual foolish questions. He asked Prabhupada, what are you doing here? What can you do for us? He said, you should go back to India. The death rate's so high in India. Prabhupada's response was, death rate's the same everywhere, 100%, which kind of threw the guy. And then the guy said, according to your cosmology, your Hindu cosmology, the world is flat, which is, it's talking about the plane of the universe. He's got it completely wrong. But anyway, it says the world is flat. Prabhupada said, everywhere I walk it is. And then he turned to the devotees and said, except for New Vrindavan, because New Vrindavan has those hills, So the guy just, he was like wrestling, and he just could not get a grip on Prabhupada, And so finally he said, well, what would happen if the whole world became Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, don't worry. There'll always be fools like you who won't. Later on, when Prabhupada got back to the temple, he told the devotees, he said, I can say these things, you cannot. Prabhupada said, it's the special dispensation of old men and little children. They can go anywhere and say anything. So please don't, you know, imitate. But the mood was there. And then, but the point I wanted to make was that Prabhupada went on to explain Hare Krishna. Okay. Prabhupada went on to explain what it was like if there's Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said it would only rain in the evening after all the animals were in. It would never go beyond this temperature, never below this, never above this. Prabhupada described the whole thing. So here we get a taste of what is the value of Krishna consciousness. I mean, we're going to get into it in a minute, but I just wanted to paint that scene. It talks about the planets adjusting. Everything, you know, everything realigned. I had a devotee who, what could he do? He couldn't follow the regular principles because he was in a Rahu period. So, you know, we hear all this stuff. So, Prabhupada, you have to find a bona fide, I'm going to get all the emails, but, you know, you got to get a bona fide astrologer first off. But a man asked Prabhupada, I guess I'll say that, in Detroit, in an evening darshan, a man said, Swamiji, can you read my palm? Prabhupada said, you know, we don't do that. You know, yogesh mam vahami ham, you know, we depend on Krishna, you know, Krishna protects, you know. And Prabhupada explained everything expertly, of course. And when Prabhupada finished, the man said, yes, yes, Swami, but can you read my palm? And to everyone's amazement, Prabhupada said, give me your hand. And, you know, Prabhupada's expert, just like this, you know, Prabhupada turned on his desk lamp. He took the man's hand. He was studying very carefully. Then he said, all bad. Birth, death, disease, and old age. I thought the guy was going to have a heart attack. He was like, you know. And then Prabhupada got, you know, one of his blissful Vaikuntha smiles, and Prabhupada said, but you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away. So this understanding that if we just, there is a design to things. I was on a plane one time. I'm thinking of a lot and I don't want to forget. I was on a plane one time flying to India, and an Indian gentleman sat down next to me. And, you know, of course I'm dressed like this. And he said, I see that you are a Krishna Bhakta. He said, I am an atheist. I was thinking, man, this is going to be a long flight. But so I said to him, okay, you know, because he challenged. That was his, he was obviously a challenge. I said, well, what do you work as? He said, I am an aeronautics engineer. And I help design the 777 Dreamliner. I said, really? I said, did you design it by yourself? He said, no. We had a team. We had a team. I was on a team. I was a leader of a team. I said, well, okay. How many on your team? He said, 10. I said, how many teams were there? He said, well, there's the electrical team, the mechanical team, the hydraulic team. He listed, you know, all together about, just to make it easy math, 10 teams, 10 people, 100 people, okay, to design the 777 Dreamliner. I said, okay. I said, and they, I mean, no offense, sir, but don't they crash sometimes? He said, sometimes. I said, isn't jet fuel one of the biggest pollutants in the world? Well, yes, it is. I said, you know, and how many people can you put on that? He said, I think it was like 350, let's say 400. I said, okay. How fast does it go? Average of 600 miles an hour. I said, okay. So we did all the calculations. Pollution, they crashed, very expensive to fly. You know, so many things, right? I said, now, and that took 100 of the best and brightest to design, right? I said, yes. I said, okay, help me out here. Help me with the seamless logic here. Krishna says, what is it? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that Krishna is the creator of all the planets. I said, now we're riding on this planet. It's just one of the multiple of planets. I said, and let's just look. You're proud that you, with your intelligence, designed the 777, which has so many flaws. It's brand X. I said, let's look at planet Earth. It's moving, what, 1,900 miles an hour? And it's spinning at the same time? I said, you try that in your 777. Let's see how fast you can go and spin at the same time. And I said, you know, when you guys crash, you know, you got to put on the seatbelt. We never get a message from Lord Brahma, oh, fasten your seatbelt, some turbulence, you know. We don't even feel it. And there's no pollution. And how many people, depending on what happened in China last night, what's the population? 7 billion? Something like that? Isn't it? I said, so just, you know, help me out here. Compare and contrast. You're proud of this little mosquito thing that has so many flaws. And here is something that is infinitely better designed. And I'm supposed to accept that that happened by chance. I'm supposed to offer my respects to your intelligence, and this happened by chance. I said, help me out here. He said, oh, Swami, I have to finish my tea. That was it. He was quiet the rest of the way. So it was actually quite a pleasant flight. But when I was a householder, I had a little house we were staying in. And the landlord, he was, Mr. Lowe was his name. We called him Mr. Slow. He was not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. And I was driving with my son and daughter, and we were at a stoplight. And there was a restaurant there. Anyway. And I saw Mr. Lowe. You know, we were there at the red light. You're checking things out. And he was leaning on the door, and he was leaning on the door. And people were inside. They were being served. And he was leaning on the door. He obviously, it was open, but how to get in? My daughter figured out. She said, pull, Mr. Lowe, pull. And then, oh, okay. He pulled open, then he got in, you know. The point is, there's a design to things. This world is designed. It is not happening by chance. And human form of life is to, Prabhupada uses the word dovetail. When you do carpentry, dovetail means it's like there's a joint and the piece fits in. It fits in. So to go with the flow means to be Krishna's servant. To go, the world is designed, and to go with the way the world is designed. Then things become nice. They will say that it is all. We need a clock. I need a clock. Does anyone have a? Do you have a? Yeah, I am half blind. I'm half blind. Does anyone have? No. Does anybody have a watch? I hate to go old school on you. I'll give it back. Don't worry. It's got to have big hands on it. No, I got this one. Thank you, young man. I appreciate the gesture. There we go. So, okay. I was on a walk with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was making some of these points. I'll proceed into them. But a devotee said, well, Shastra says, Prabhupada said, don't bring in Shastra. Let's talk logic. So, of course, everything we say is based on Shastra. Don't hold off on the emails. But we're not blind faith. We're not. Krishna consciousness is profoundly logical. It makes sense. If we have a clear, one man said to Prabhupada, this is brainwashing. We've all heard it. Prabhupada said, well, actually, if the brain is dirty, shouldn't you wash it? And then Prabhupada said, actually, get a brain, then we'll wash it. The man said, I have a brain. Prabhupada said, if you have a brain, it's cow dung. That was pretty much the end of the conversation with that guy. So, but the point is that, okay, let's just walk down the field. Well, let me say this first. They accuse the devotees of course, it's mellowing out now. America's changed. But still, we're often accused of, you know, we've dropped out, we've quit. Okay, because you couldn't make it with the, you know, you didn't make it to Harvard, or you didn't, you know, whatever it was. Okay, fine. At least you got 3 square meals, you know, and you got a place to sleep, and you're not bothering anybody. All right, fine. But there's a type of turtle called the Galapagos turtle, believe it or not. It's quite large. It's a sea turtle. And they mate on the Galapagos Islands. And when they come up on the beach, before they, you know, because they've got to get up on the sand to make a nest and lay their eggs. If they run into something, they just keep, like there's a log or a rock, they just keep bumping against it. They just keep bumping against it. And they'll back up and bump into it again. And there's actually, you can join, you know, if you have nothing better to do with your life. You can go down there, their mating period, and people just, you have people on the beach, and you just turn them around. You help them around the rock or help, you know. So to keep beating your head against the wall, I'm not a quitter. Is that intelligent? So the devotees have the breath. Where is this thing going? One of my favorite lines from Devamrita Maharshi, they call it the American dream. And the American dream is if you work hard enough, it's in tatters now. This is the first generation. Because they're not following Krishna's system. There's a design. There's a purpose. We had a wonderful class by Prabhupada yesterday about Varnashram, how society should be organized. This is our birthright. We are not... There's a verse by... who is it? It's T.S. Eliot. Prabhupada will quote poetry sometimes. It's called The Hollow Man. And the last line is, how will the world end? Not with a bang, but with a whimper. There won't be some big cataclysmic whatever. But people are just being gradually reduced to gerbils. They just, you know, if they can just pay the mortgage. This is the first generation that will have a lower standard of life in America. The first generation to have a lower standard of life than their previous generation. You know, as always, we're building. We stand on the shoulders and we're improving. It's going down the tubes. People are getting married much later because they can't afford to get married. They're buying houses. Most people rent because they can't afford to buy a house. So the American dream was people work at will. At will means they can drop you down a shaft anytime they want. So it's just, what are we being reduced to? And what is happiness? Prabhupada said, your opulence is glass and plastic. Prabhupada said, actually, you don't even have the opulence of a moment's peace of mind. So we're reading here in the Bhagavatam, this is human life. People are selling themselves short, small potatoes. If they can get their rear end home from Walmart, they're happy. And make the monthly mortgage. That is not human life. Just to scrape, Prabhupada says, you know, there's so many classic statements by Prabhupada. To get a pigeonhole in a skyscraper building. What is that? Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, I'm trying to think of the, actually I've got it here, because I'm trying to think of the because it's a sequence. It's like, here we go. It's from the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 66. And it's, you know, when you were a kid, connect the dots and it makes a picture sequentially. So just follow this sequentially. What is the use of all of this? Well, just this one verse lays it out. I'll make it quick. One who's not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there's not the possibility of peace. And how can there be happiness without peace? So I'll break it down. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to become happy? We have any closet masochists who want to out themselves right now? I mean, it doesn't matter. However you define it, that's another thing. Thank God it's Friday and I'll go have a couple beers and pass out and barf in my shoes. Okay, fine. If that's your... But everybody... Plants are turning towards the sun. Anamoya, Gyanamoya, Vijnanamoya, all the different levels. Everything's looking for happiness. Okay, we have a common denominator. We all want to become happy. Okay, fine. Well, how can you be happy if your mind isn't peaceful? I mean, you can be, you know, whatever it is. What is it? What is that guy's name? J. Paul Getty was at the time the richest man in the world. He said there's only two types of people in this world. People you pay to stay with you, and people you pay to stay away from you. I mean, what kind? Just imagine what a miserly, miserable life. Richest man in the world. And that's how he saw the world, you know? So if your mind isn't peaceful, you can have everything you want. So I want to become happy. And then Krishna says, okay, fine. But you got to become peaceful. Well, then what's the next logical question? Don't overthink it. How do I become peaceful? And Krishna says right here, well, then you got to have controlled senses. Jeez, well, how do I get controlled senses? You got to have a steady mind. Well, how in the world do I get a steady mind? You have to have transcendental intelligence. Connect the dots. Well, what does that mean, transcendental intelligence? Krishna says connected with the Supreme. If we understand, well, hang on a minute. There's a design. There's an order. There's a purpose. Suffering. What the sannyasis pray, which I prayed very intensely in the beginning and got... I've been hit hard, you know. But, and it goes like this. Let the sufferings of this world come. Because those sufferings bring detachment. And the detachment is the boat that carries across the ocean of birth and death to Krishna's lotus feet. If we understand, if everybody's trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Mr. Lowe, they're leaning on it and leaning on it. Just pull. So, if we understand, well, hang on a minute. Prahlad Maharaj says, nobody's looking for suffering. Anyone here not suffering? Momentarily. I mean, because you're Krishna conscious, that's another thing. It's not a fair question to ask an audience like this. But the fact of the matter is, nobody looks for suffering, but suffering comes. So what is the other side of the coin? If one follows seamless logic, what does Prahlad Maharaj say? Happiness will also come. Distress like the seasons, it's coming and going. So get about our real business. Think about it. The average American under hypnosis can remember, 375 commercial jingles. Coke is the real thing. Nike, just do it. Shouldn't you think before you do it? I think that's a good idea. So it's always darkest before the dawn. Every cloud has a silver lining. Got to take the bitter with the sweet. And this, they just rationalize. Just have a rough life banging away at the material nature. But that's not, this verse gives a sample of human life is meant to be. What pure consciousness. That's what we're doing. Prabhupada was at the zoo, Calcutta Zoo. There was a tiger. A big tiger in a cage. Guru Kripa was throwing rocks at it, trying to get it to roar. Prabhupada said, no, he's suffering enough. You know, he's the king of the jungle. Prabhupada's feeling compassion for the tiger. He said, he's suffering enough. He's king of the jungle, and look at his condition now. But the tiger was roaring a few times, and there was a little boy holding onto his father's hand, and the little boy was roaring back. You know, the lion was roaring. And Prabhupada said, the little boy's thinking, I have my father's hand. I have my father's hand. So he's feeling safe. So a devotee knows that I have my Krishna. And whatever suffering's coming, we're thinking like Kunti, that you know, let it come, let it free me from my attachments. Let me get about my real business. Rather than this constant struggle for material, happiness will come, distress will come. And if one's mind is fixed in transcendence, just like this beautiful Janmashtami, Krishna is real. It is not mythological. I mean, and again, seamless logic. Prabhupada gives a great example. Oh, geez. Prabhupada says, here's Mr. John. He's got a blue shirt. He's got brown eyes. This is Mr. John. You say, no. That's not Mr. John. No. Okay, fine. Prabhupada says, okay, fine. Then if you know, give me a better definition. If this isn't Mr. John, please explain who it is. So we say there's Krishna, and he's Shyamasundar. No. Everything happened by chance. There's no God. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just, you know, laws of physics. Well, we had the conversation I had with my 747 guy.
things don't happen. Wherever this order, pattern, symmetry, design, there's intelligence behind it. It's just as simple as that. I challenge anyone. And you can email me, you can text me, you can, you know, WhatsApp, I'm around. Give me an example of where anything, order, pattern, symmetry, and design that does not ultimately have intelligence behind it. Okay, it must be intelligence. Well, it's just a white light. It's you know, the cosmic whatever. You know, I found my home and home. But in order to be Purnam, if you have a subset of numbers, you can't have any number in a subset that's not in the original set. You take a drop from the ocean, it's going to be the same in quality. It may not be quantity, but it's the same. We have form, we have pastimes, we have activity. The Absolute must have activity because we're talking about Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities, the Supreme Lord. What? I was stuck in an airport some time ago. And there was something on television. You couldn't avoid it. You know, it's right, big screen in front of you. It was the lifestyles of the rich and famous. People, oh, he's got all gold fixtures in his bathroom. Or, you know, whatever it is, right? People were amazed. They just fly from here and there, you know? Shouldn't the activities of the Supreme Lord be absolutely mind-blowing? Should it lift a hill with, you know, the left-hand little finger? Sure, why not? Dancing with 16,108 gopis? Why not? Prabhupada points out, Krishna's in everyone's heart. He's already expanded into everyone's heart. What's the difficulty? Come out of the heart and dance with the individual jivas. Why is that such an amazing thing? So, there is a transcendental intelligence. That intelligence is not just a white light. As we have activities, because it's the Absolute, the Absolute has activities. Well, he's an old man with a beard. You know? We got a poster printed one time. And it was, you know, there's that famous Brijbasi print. And we've also got, an ISKCON version. Where Krishna's there and he's got his hand around a young calf. And he's sitting on a rock, you know. It's a beautiful classic picture. We got a copy of that printed. And I happened to just see when we were paying the bill, the guys had noted, girl with dog. You know, they don't have any concept. But why should God be an old man with a beard? If I had a magic wand, poof, and I automatically, of course, it's happening by the force of time, but nobody voluntarily becomes old with a beard. Why? If God is the source of all life and the source of all beauty, why should he be an old man with a beard? Share the logic. Rather, what is it? Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha, Brahma Samhita. Rather, the logical thing is that the source of, we're moving down the line. It didn't happen by chance. There's got to be an intelligence behind it. The intelligence has to have a form. That form has to be all attractive. It has to be beautiful Krishna. They painted a picture of Krishna. You know, he's getting ready to fight with Kamsa. He's got big muscles. Prabhupada said, no, he's a little fat from Mother Yasoda's butter. Now, Krishna has a transcendental form. So just, all right. But, you know, God doesn't interact with the living entities. It's like Lincoln Memorial. You know, you see those Christian tracts. God's on a big throne, usually faceless. And there's a sense of creatureliness that, you know, we're like, oh, don't smite me. But, and God doesn't interact with the living entities. You know, why? God just watches? Did anybody here ever get an ant farm when they were a kid? I don't really think everything's digital now, you know. Or a fish tank. They sell fish tanks, right? Suppose you just sat there all day long and watched the fish. Or that voyeurism, a peeping Tom, you know, it's looking in other people's windows, watching their life. You know, you get arrested for that. New Dork is opulensky jai. So we just hover? I mean, God is just in the clouds watching what we do. And he's there as a great Amazon in the sky. We send a prayer and he fulfills our prayers. Why? Why shouldn't God have his own activities, his own pastimes, in his own place, and just enjoying like anything? That makes sense. So, If we have transcendental intelligence, the Bhagavatam is historical record, and it is seamless logic. Now, let's end here, but let me just add this. So what do we do about that? We have received, just like Ramaswar was giving that list of all the things that have come out of New Dwarka. And I was saying it's like churning the ocean of milk, you know? And it just so many things have floated. If you think, my father at his retirement dinner, he said, and he sold his business. He was retiring. Everybody there's in tuxedos. I was there as a devotee in devotee dress, tilak. It was a little bit awkward. But my father was proud. And he said, everyone is congratulating me that I've retired. You know, he said, I had a paper route. I started when I was 8 years old. I've worked my way up. Now I'm retiring to my beach house, you know, and there it is. He said, but my youngest son is smarter than me. When looking at me in a dote, he said, well, and he said, he retired at 17 and a half. They're like, what? My father said he joined the Hare Krishna movement. And the newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada one time, you know, what do you do for recreation? Prabhupada said, what? He said, our whole movement is recreation. So we have received, there's absolutely no question about it. We have, if we have a control our mind, control our senses, and follow the regular principles, we are enjoying life at every moment. And go home back to Godhead. And here we have a description of what is that like. So, okay. But we have a duty. Madhuvisa Ashila Prabhupada. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that one whose reaction to sinful activities is completely eradicated. And one who's got a stockpile of pious acts, they can take to devotional service. So pop, finish, sinful finish, and a stockpile of pious, you can take to devotional service. So Madhavisa Prabhu said, you know, but Prabhupada, I didn't have a stockpile of pious activities. In fact, I was performing sinful activities till the moment I met you. So how is it possible? How does that square with this Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune. Created it. Prabhupada said, this causeless mercy is if you're walking down the street and somebody walks up to you and hands you $1 million. You don't know them. You don't deserve it. And they just say, here, take it. So Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune. But then Prabhupada said, I only ask one thing. And you know what that one thing was? Prabhupada said that you go and create good fortune for others. So on this day, Janmashtami, along with everything else, we should think we're not slaving away the American dream, that's what I wanted to say. Devamrita Maharaj, one of those classic Devamrita Maharaj's lines. I was describing the American dream. You know, you work hard, you get a house, you get a family, you get married, put your kids through college, and you retire with a full pension and medical care, and you can skate in your golden years. You know why nowadays it's called the American dream? Because you have to be asleep to believe it. So, on this wonderful day, Janmashtami, Krishna is real. It's completely logical. It's not blind faith. It's not sentiment. It's not wishful thinking. It's profoundly logic. And if you've got a better idea, come forward and tell us. Because it isn't there. And we should think how fortunate we are that we get to be devotees and engage in Krishna's service and with a peaceful mind. We know, Prabhupada said, only a devotee knows what's what and who is who. So having received these gifts, all the previous acharyas, all Srila Prabhupada asks is we go and give it to others. And we'll end here. I heard this story. I wanted to save it it's a New Dwarka story. When the temple room was over here, Prabhupada told it. And Prabhupada was talking about how eager we should be and determined to give people Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada's story. Prabhupada said there was a man in India during the British Raj named Dr. Beecham. And Dr. Beecham had a pharmacy. You know, they call it a chemist shop, right? And Dr. Beecham made up this stuff called Dr. Beecham's powder. And he sold it. And it was best and cheapest. It was the low cost. And you put a spoonful in a glass of water. You stir it up. And it got rid of headaches. It cured the Bombay blues. You know, Mahatma Gandhi's weight loss program. It was, you know, everything was there. You know, it grew hair, pep in your step, glide in your stride. It was fantastic stuff. Dr. Beecham's powder. But somehow or other, it never got a market. It just never took off. You know, I mean, it's all time, fate, karma, destiny. So many factors are there. Never took off. So the British Raj ended. He retired. He went back. He's an old man now, Dr. Beecham. And he's, you know, in some little village, quaint English village, north, you know, England. And he's got his little chemist shop. And one day, an old lady, he's an old man now. And a similarly old lady totters in. You can picture the little ding-ding, the little bell by the door. She totters in. Mr. Beecham comes out. And she says, you know, I've forgotten the name of it. But I used to be in India. And there was this powder I got. And it was just fantastic. Upset stomach, headache, everything, you know. And what was it called? He said, I want to know if you sell it. She says, the best thing I ever, you can brush your teeth with it. You know, and it was called Dr. Beecham's powder. And Dr. Beecham, Prabhupada said, was so enlivened that somebody wanted his product and loved it. Prabhupada said he dropped dead from a heart attack. So that's Prabhupada's story. So Prabhupada said we should be so eager to give people Krishna consciousness. So we'll end here, but Krishna's real and we've mercifully received him, and all we have to do is give him to others. And lo and behold, there's a gift embedded in that. As we give Krishna to others, Krishna becomes more real to us. So it's a win-win all the way around. So we've gone on. We should end there.
Hare Krishna.
All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Before everybody runs away, we have a 5-minute video from the bus Harinam yesterday. It's really worth watching. Please just give us 5 more minutes. Go ahead, play.
And here's somebody's watch.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare.
Rama Rama Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare.
You can bet those people remember that. What was that? And they looked happy.